Father, I want to thank you for bringing us together on your holy Sabbath day. And now I pray that your Spirit will deliver this sermon. I pray that the thoughts you gave me, Lord, and the urging I received, and the burden that I carry, will be simply and understandably shared, and whatever Satan has planned to disrupt it, you would defeat his purposes. For Lord, we want to hear what you have to say. And I want to be used by you. And I don't want to be seen. I want Jesus to be seen. So please use me in spite of me and open our ears, our eyes, and our hearts. And Lord, now just open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. One of my favorite illustrations, and you know, you hear stories, and this is this one of the stories that it's just so incredible to me. I love it, and I'll use it periodically. You see here Alaska, and of course the Aleutian Islands coming off Alaska. The story is told and happened to a Mel Reese, who was the stewardship director of the North Pacific Union Conference, which includes Alaska. And he had to fly up there for a meeting way out on the Aleutian chain. And the local native pastor said, "Hey, we got a day off today, and I want to take you on a hike and show you some of the incredible things about the Aleutian Peninsula coming off of Alaska." And so they began to walk. And while they were walking, pretty soon in the surf, Mel Reese saw this glowing thing in the surf there. He didn't know what it was, and he got closer, and he saw that it was a glass float that fishermen used to float their nets. And that every once in a while, and when damage takes place with the nets or the trawling, whatever, these floats just float away and they appear on somebody's shore. And by the way, many people around the world collect these things. And he said, "I want that." He told the pastor, "Can I have that?" He said, "Well, sure, it's there in the surf." And he said, "Okay." And he went out in the surf very carefully. He didn't want to get too wet. And he picked it up. And the pastor said, and he said to the pastor, "Now, where can we hide this? We got to hide this somewhere." And the pastor said, No, we don't have to hide it." "Oh, yes. If we don't hide it, somebody's going to come walking along. They're going to take it." "No," he said, "give it to me." And so he took it. And he went up on the beach away from the surf, and he put it right smack in the middle of the beach. And Mel Reese thought, "Well, you know, native pastor maybe doesn't understand. Hey, I really want this." And he said, no, it's okay." He said, "But somebody's going to come along and they're going to take it." He said, "I'll fix that." And he proceeded to draw a line around the float in the sand. And he said, "Okay, now we can go. We have 4 hours to go, so we need to leave." "I'm not going to leave that there. Look, they're going to see that." He said, no one will take it. "I promise you. For you see, I drew a circle around it. And a circle in the sand around an object that is standing in the middle means no belong me. And no one will take it because the circle is around it." And Mel Reese was like, "Oh, I never heard anything like that in my life. But okay, pastor, I'm going to trust you." He went on the 4-hour walk. He came back and it was right there. And it was right there because the people in that community knew that if a circle is around an object on the beach, it no belong me, and therefore it can't be touched. And folks, God has given us something that no belong me. And we're going to look at it today because it's really important. So I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Malachi, the third chapter. Malachi, the third chapter. Children, open your Bibles. Follow along as we read verse. It says 7. We'll start with 6. And we'll read to verse 12. You're all familiar with this. But I know the Lord is going to bless and you'll appreciate it. So you got your Bibles open, children? You got your Bibles open? By the way, if the child here doesn't have a Bible, there's a brand new one sitting right there that doesn't belong to anyone. You're welcome to come and get it. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, just before Matthew. And we'll begin reading with verse 6. Are you ready? I think I heard some people say no. No, that's okay. I want to give you time to turn to it. All right, here we go. For I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O son of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you ask, in what way shall we return to you? And the answer from God is, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And he said, in tithes and offerings. For you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Therefore, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. And so we have the question from God that asks us, will a man rob God? You know, it's really funny because obviously this is a very preached passage of Scripture in all denominations. I've done it a number of times. But I'll be real honest with you. Until I prepared for this, I never stopped to think what it's implying there. Will a man rob God? And we're not talking, will a man rob each other? You know, as a little kid, I remember my mom would be in the other room and I'd go in her bedroom, open her drawer and take out some money so I could run up to the store and buy baseball cards. I stole that money. And it was my mom, I did it. But wait a minute, we're not talking about my mother. We're talking about God. He said, you are robbing me. So take a look at Psalms 24:1. It says, the Psalm of David, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Who's the owner? Of what? No belong me. It all belongs to God. You know, when I was thinking about that, I thought, Lord, how can I make this so it even the children who are listening can understand? What are you going to take with you to heaven? Yeah, okay, that's the pat Adventist answer, my character, okay? But the truth is, nothing. I think Job's the one that said, naked I went, came into this world and naked I'm going to go out. Because it does not belong to us. And so when it uses the term Lord, and notice how Lord is spelled. Did you notice this in the psalm? Lord, it's spelled capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It means Jehovah, the self-existing one, the eternal one. This is the proper name for the true God. This is the one that said to Moses, I am that I am. And that's how we end up robbing God. Because the question they asked him, we asked, how am I robbing God? Number one, you're robbing God of his ownership if you do not acknowledge the tithes and the offerings and the necessity of giving them to the church. You're denying he's the owner. You're taking possession yourself. You're making a decision. And by the way, the robbery part comes in is God says it belongs to me. The tithe belongs to me. And the offerings, whatever the Spirit of God tells you to give, belongs to me. You have no right to use it for anything else. Because I'm the self-existent one. By the way, we're getting, this is short. This is short, but when you'll see how it all fits together. Acts 16:31. And they said, believe in the Lord. And that word Lord is not, this is the New Testament. So this is Greek and it's Kyrios. 687 times in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Kyrios, the Lord, 687 times means supremacy. It means supreme in authority. He to whom a person or thing, what? Belongs. It means the owner. We don't own anything, really. And by the way, if you say, well, I own this tie that I'm wearing or dress I have on. Well, where'd you get the money for that? Well, I worked really hard to earn it. How did you have the ability to earn it? Oh, well, I've got muscles and bones. Who gave you those muscles and bones? Oh, and I'm a really brilliant businessman or woman. Oh, really? Who gave you the brilliant mind? Yes, when we sit down, we realize that every single thing we have is a gift from God. And He has a right to put a circle around any part of it. And He put a part around 1/10 of your income. And He put a circle around whatever the amount is that the Holy Spirit said to give as an offering to the church besides the tithe, which He specifies as 10%. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. And when you arbitrarily make a decision, for whatever reason, you are robbing God of His ownership. So that's one way in which we rob God. Number two, another way we rob God is we rob God of working, get this, maybe you never thought of this, of working a miracle every time you get a paycheck. But I've got to add to this. Do you understand that the tithe proves that God is the Creator? Because the 9/10 that He allows you to keep, and by the way, it shouldn't really be 9/10 because some of that should go to the church as an offering. The church doesn't run on tithe. The tithe goes to the conference for the payroll of the pastors. But the offering runs the church. And notice he said, will a man rob God? How have we robbed you? And he says, in tithes and offerings. Now, I am not hesitant in the least to say this to you. I will not dictate your offering. God will dictate that to you. But if you haven't asked Him, then you're taking possession of something that belongs to Him, and you're denying Him the ability to work a miracle for you. And I go, wait a minute, Lord, as I look at this, I've got only one more point. I look at this, I go, wait a minute, the tithe really doesn't have anything to do with money. Do I need to repeat that? God instituted for the perfection of our characters. And when we deny that or ignore it or we massage it according to our likes and dislikes, we are robbing Him of ownership. We're robbing Him of a miracle. You know, I can testify to this. I've heard more than one person say this to me, even though I don't agree. The pastors don't make very much money. The system in Adventism is very fair and square. In other churches, a church this size, I'd be getting double my salary because the congregation pays it. But in our system, the tithe goes to the conference, part of it goes to the union, part of it goes to the GC, and people around the world gets a cut of your tithe in order to have pastors in all the areas of the world. And I am very happy with the amount we get. Jenny never had a job. We had two boys. They were in church school. We lived on my salary. And we paid a faithful tithe and offering every time. And yes, I didn't have a boat. And no, I didn't have a snowmobile in Minnesota. And no, I did not have a Mercedes-Benz. But there's nothing we needed that I did not have. I look back now, it's amazing. Almost today, it's so bad that often the wife has to work. But she looked at me and said, Peter, my job is these two boys. And she chose to homeschool them. And so we went without all the extras, but God never let us down on all the necessities. He works a miracle. It's amazing. There's better testimonies right here than I just gave. But I'm really worried because selfishness is growing even worse than it was before. Remember, it says the curse is laying upon the earth greater than it was when sin came in. And this is a very secular, materialistic society. And you have to understand that if you choose to change the ordinance that God gave, 10% and something for an offering, then you are depriving Him of ownership. And secondly, you're keeping Him from working a miracle in your behalf so that you will clearly see that God is the Creator of the universe because He can make something out of nothing. And so He says, you rob Me in tithes and offerings. Number three. we rob God of helping us overcome our, say it louder, selfishness. Is there anybody here, and please don't raise your hand, who thinks you're not selfish, self-centered? You know, I know the coming of Jesus is very soon. Because of that, at a weird hour every morning, I get up and I go outside and pray. And I want you to know that the more I do this, the more ashamed I am at the thoughts I had, the things I said, and things I did, even as a Seventh-day Adventist minister. I cannot believe how selfish I really am. I don't know, I guess there is something about righteousness with old age. But folks, I'm selfish. And every time that tithe sits there, or your check sits there, you've got a decision to make. Am I going to fulfill my privilege of returning to God what He said is mine, and to include an offering no matter what size? Or am I going to say, boy, imagine what I could do with this money? You know, I got to tell you this. A thought occurred to me one day. I go to the bank and I have to make a loan for whatever. And I looked at my credit score and everything and I thought, man, he's going to give me the loan. He's not even going to hesitate. Sure enough, okay, here, Mr. Neary, you can have it. Why? Because my credit score or my finances do not show that every paycheck I give a tenth to God and at least 5% to the church. And they think I have a lot of money. I thought, I wonder what they would do with this loan if they knew that 10% of my salary automatically goes to the church along with my offering. I can get a loan anywhere. I don't know if I can afford it, but because God put the instituted the tithe to help us with our selfishness. We're all selfish. We are. And I know some people are in great financial stress, but I want you to hear me publicly say that you will never be better off, no matter how financially strapped you are, unless you honor God. Because then you're trusting Him to work a miracle because you acknowledge that He's the owner. Now this really scared me. Because Malachi 3:9 says, you are cursed with a curse. And I've got to admit to you, I had it all intellectually laid out before, done it in the past, but I never stopped and really thought as I did this time what that means. Do you understand? If you're holding back, you're cursed. So if I'm your pastor and I love you, do you think I'm not going to preach this? I want to be in heaven, but I want you to be in heaven. And by the way, we'll see what this really means in a second when it says cursed. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Do you know what how I read and pierce themselves through with many sorrows? I read that as suicide. You're committing suicide. Let me show you what I mean. I got a neat history idea I never had before. You are cursed with a curse, the whole nation of you. The destruction of Jerusalem, how many times? How many times? Thank you. Babylon in 589 B.C. and less than 600 years later, the second time by the Romans. Now, wait a minute. I had a thought this morning. I just love inspiration. Actually, I rely on inspiration. I thought, what other great kingdom ever was destroyed twice? Was Rome ever destroyed twice? Was the Greeks ever destroyed twice? Was Babylon destroyed twice? Was Medo-Persia destroyed twice? My understanding, they were only destroyed once. That means this is super unique and very meaningful in history. For God gave them a second chance after the Babylonians came in and leveled the city and took them all prisoner and just kept the poor people there, the whole place desolate. He then let them go back and to rebuild. And just 600 years later, the Romans come. And the Romans flatten the city. And by the way, ever since Rome did that in A.D. 70, and let's see, this is 2017, it's still flattened. Because the second time, it's because they rejected the Messiah. Wow, the merciful God. Remember what we started with in this? We didn't start with verse 8, will a man God rob God? Verse 7, we started instead with verse 6, for I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. What a merciful God we serve. And He gave, unlike from what I can figure, I'm thinking really fast, With no time to have studied the historical issue out, what other kingdom had two chances? What other kingdom ever rebuilt again? And so it's a scary thing when the Bible says you are cursed with a curse, the whole nation of you. By the way, the hope is there were people amongst both Babylonian time and pagan Rome that did pay a tithe and honor God's ordinances. But they also paid the price of the sin of the multitude around them. Herein do you rob me in tithes and offerings. You know, in our morning prayer time, we always read a passage of Scripture. We're in Ecclesiastes. And last Wednesday morning and afternoon and evening, we read Ecclesiastes 8. And I was reminded of this text. I thought it to be very pertinent because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the hearts of the Son of Man is fully set in them to do what? To do evil. We are incredibly self-centered, selfish. Without the Holy Spirit, we will only think of ourselves. And even as Christians, that struggle will exist until the second coming of Jesus Christ. So my friends, because you've gotten away with it for a long time, the Bible says you are cursed with a curse. I don't want to be cursed, and I don't want you to be cursed, because Jesus is coming soon. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Even in this life, it is not for our good to depart from the will of our Father in heaven. Desire of Ages 121. When we learn the power of His Word, we shall not follow the suggestions of Satan in order to obtain food or to save our lives. Our only question will be, what is God's command and what is His promise? Knowing these, we shall obey the one and trust the other. Wow. So let's review quickly. Will a man rob God? How do we rob you? We rob God of His ownership when we remake His commands to us. Number two, we rob God of working a miracle every paycheck. Three, we rob God of helping us overcome our selfishness, which has to be done before we can go to heaven with Jesus. You know, I gotta undercut us. You know, I need to get a little down and dirty. You know, as I was going over this, because I think I understand that the latest statistics show that maybe 35% of Adventists return a faithful tithe. And we're the church that go around telling Sunday keepers, you're keeping the wrong day. And one of these days, they're going to look at us and say, by the way, do you return a faithful tithe and offering? And we'll go, well, you know, I've had a really hard time financially. Well, then don't tell me about your Sabbath. If you can remake that, then I can remake this. It will not stand up in court. We've got to be faithful to God because He has given all to us, for us. And we're proving Him at His Word. Luke 12:34. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. My friends, may the Holy Spirit work on all of us to get that selfishness out. Because when He does, I won't need to preach for my benefit or yours about tithe and offering. For we'll tear the joint down to get in here so we can return to God what's His with pride and honor and thanksgiving. Father, I want to thank You for the challenge of the hour. I pray that I honored You, Lord, by revealing Your mercy and grace and love, and not fire and brimstone and dogma. I had no idea that the tithe wasn't about money, Lord. You know what You're doing. And unfortunately, sometime, because of our human nature, we redo it, thinking we know better. Forgive us. And now help us that we can be faithful to You so You can bless our church even more. And Lord, because we stream online and others listen later, I pray that they too be touched. And wherever they go, they would be faithful there. For they will be a testimony for Your honor and glory, which You deserve. So blessed to this end. And thank You for hearing and answering this prayer, because it's prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.